wonderful, and that was a great delight, and I think an encouragement to all of us today. That's wonderful. Well, we're in Ephesians chapter 2 now. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 10. The title of the message is, We Were Dead. We were dead. And that's what the Scripture says. We were dead. But we're no longer dead. If you're in Christ, you are no longer dead. We're going to use verses 1 through 3 for the sermon today, but we're going to read from chapter 1, verse 19, maybe verse 18. I'll just start at 18 through chapter 2, verse 10, just so we can kind of put this in context together and see what Paul is having to say, what the Spirit of God would have us to hear. Verse 18, chapter 1. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. And I like the other versions that calls it, we were children of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy... Oh, that's the verse right there I love. But God, who is rich in... because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Oh, Father, grant us grace that we could hear what you have to say to us today, that we would give glory to you, knowing that once we were dead, but now we're alive with Christ. Oh, let it make us worship. Let it cause us to live lives in worship and glorifying you. In Jesus' name, amen. My first question is, how dead was Jesus? How dead was Jesus when taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb? We'll make it multiple choice. Was he not dead at all? A. B. Was he mostly dead? For those of you that have seen Princess Bride, mostly dead. Or C. Dead. No longer responding to light, to touch, to sound, to smell, to taste, to pain, or anything else. Dead. So which do you choose?
C.
He was dead. And we can't ever compromise on that. The Scripture declares Christ died. He was dead. And it took what we just read here in Ephesians chapter 1, an act of God, divine power, strength exerted in Christ by God to raise him from the dead and to seat him at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly realms. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. But God worked, exerted his power, and raised him from the dead. Jesus was dead, but God made him alive. Jesus was dead, but God made him alive. Now in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, this shows us how God makes sinners saints, turns sinners into saints, makes the dead living, and places them in Christ's body. That's what chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 is all about. God making sinners saints, taking the dead, making them alive, and placing them in Christ's body. We're united with Him as His body. Now, especially we see this in verses 4 through 7. These verses tell us clearly, verses 4 and 5, that God made us alive with Christ. It's the whole crux of this. That verse 6 part of the verse says God raised us up with Christ. And the last part of verse 6, God seated us with Christ. So the subject in these verses is God in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And then everything is something God did for us in Christ or with Christ. And that's critical for our understanding. And so we're going to look at verses 4 through 7 next week. But just to set the stage for what we're going to look at in verses 1 through 3, realizing that Paul paints a picture, and it's bleak for the world, but it's glorious for those that God saves. And so for us as believers, it is so important that we remember where we were, how dead were we, and how alive are we, what happened. And verses 4 through 7 tell us the glorious truth. I'll say it again, we're going to talk about it next week. God made us alive with Christ. He raised us with Christ. And He seated us with Christ. This is what has happened to us. Think about that. What did you deserve? And what has God done? God is acting according to the pleasure of His will. We looked at this in the early part of chapter 1. According to His grace. And it's according to His pleasure and to His will. And it's according to His grace and an act of His love that you, if you are in Christ, have been made alive. That His church for 2,000 years is made up of people that were dead but now alive. People that had no hope but He has raised. People that had no standing and He seated us with Him in Christ forever and ever and ever. Now, if we look at verses 4 through 7, and we will next week, but just to see something that's powerful, I think it shows us the glory of this life that He has made us alive in. If we compare verses 4 through 7 with some words in chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, and the things that happened to Christ have happened to us. What the Father did for Him, He has done for us. And for instance, in verse 19 of chapter 1, it says that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He raised Him. In chapter 2, verse 6, we see the same thing, but God raised us up with Christ. It's the same power, the same exertion, the same strength that raised Christ from the dead that raises us with Him. In chapter 1, verse 20, it says that God seated Christ, the living, resurrected Christ, He seated Him at His right hand. And in chapter 2, verse 6, it says, God seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms. I love it. I think that the thing about this is that Paul is bringing our attention to see, especially in this, is that we were dead, but now we're alive. And verses 1 through 3 make it dramatic of how dead we were. And it's, I think, one of Paul's first dramatic points concerning us in his writing. But just as Christ was dead, so we were dead. Just as God acted to raise Christ through His strength, so God has acted on us according to His will to raise us, making us alive with Christ. So if we didn't have chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 that we're going to spend our time in today, we would still have to conclude, and we could conclude, that God had to exert divine power and strength to make us alive in Christ. He had to exert divine power and strength to raise us up with Christ. He had to exert divine power to seat us with Him in the heavenly realm. A divine act of God's pleasure and will. God is free to do what He wills. And He wills to raise His own, giving them power to live for the glory of God. But we do have chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It's important that we look at these verses. These verses, they are important that we would understand the kind of dead we were and the peril of that death. And Paul writes it in that way. You were dead. This is what you were. The truth is, it's the condition of humanity. The condition of humanity. We are not sinners by acts alone. We are sinners by birth. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 tells us what kind of dead we were. It tells us how dead we were. It tells us the reason for our being dead. And it also tells us what is the natural outcome for us if God doesn't act. Or what is the natural outcome for us if God didn't act. So chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." You were dead. You were dead. Paul explains the way a believer was before alive. It's what we were before. Now, if you were young when you came to faith in Christ, you're thinking, "I didn't have time to commit a whole bunch of sins." Paul writes, "You were dead in your transgressions and sins." What does that mean? We'll look at that. And keep in mind, if you are in the faith, he's writing to ones who once were dead but now alive, that can look at this and go, "Wow, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead raised me when I was dead. Glory to God that we would worship Him and behold His glory, the radiance of His glory in the face of Jesus Christ." By nature, you were dead to God. By nature, you lived in transgression and sin, trespasses and sins. You were trespassing God's rules. It was in your nature. It's how you were born. You were born that way. You were born disobedient. You were born a transgressor. That's what you were. And it wasn't because God inflicted you with it. It's because your mother and father, children of Adam, passed it on. Sinner by birth, born to sin. Now, if it wasn't for the fact that we're told this is what you were these things, I would think you would be greatly offended. Humanity, people that are cut off from God, who are dead in their trespasses and sins, finds this greatly offensive. Because there is no answer that can be given to give hope. Because they have no life in them, no love of God, no Spirit of God, no hope. So this deadness that Paul says, when you once were dead, is a spiritual deadness. Born with a spiritual deadness. It doesn't mean you're not, couldn't be animated in your personality and be a winsome person. Doesn't mean you couldn't be moral in many regards and do good things. There's a lot of good people that do good things that are spiritually dead. It's a death that is, spiritual death is very similar to physical death, in a sense. A physically dead person can't respond to any stimulus whatsoever, just as Christ was absent the ability to respond to touch, sound, smell, and so on. A dead person can't respond to those things. You can shout all day long at a dead person. They will not answer back. Right? Test it at a funeral home someday. Probably get thrown out. But a spiritually dead person can't respond to God. The Bible says spiritually discerned, spiritually unable to respond to God. cannot see spiritual light. And that light being Christ. Though living in the body and alive in her intellect to so many things, emotionally awake, yet at the same time dead to God with no capacity to respond at all. The Bible uses terms such as alienated from God, separated from God, at enmity with God. The sinful mind, that is the mind of the spiritually dead person, is enmity with God. That's worse than being enemies. At least enemies have hope of somehow getting along. Enmity is an irreconcilable difference that cannot be mended, cannot be fixed. The point, dead. Once you were dead, you were dead, truly and totally and in every way dead, spiritually dead to God. Before you were born again, that is, before being made alive with Christ, you may have heard of Him. Think about your own life. I've heard so many stories that one brother in particular, he said, for 9 years, I was told I needed to believe in this Jesus. For 9 years, I heard the gospel backwards and forwards in every way, and my friend was driving me crazy. But one day, someone came to me, other than the friend, and told me this gospel. And my eyes were opened, and I believed. And I was saved. And I went to my friend who had preached to me for 9 years, and I said, "Why did you never tell me this before?" Maybe that was your experience. This man had heard about Jesus over and over and over. His friend pleaded with him, but this man could not respond. He could hear, but he didn't hear. He could see, but he couldn't see. He was dead. He was among the walking dead. He could process information, but he could not respond to God. I love what John MacArthur said. Many of you will like this. So, seeing how zombies is going around right now, everybody wants zombies to return. We're amongst zombies every day. John MacArthur describes the condition of the spiritually dead this way. Men apart from God are spiritual zombies. You don't need to go watch a movie. You need to look around. Not in here, if everyone's in the faith. The walking dead who do not know they are dead. They go through the motions of life, but they do not possess it. I think John MacArthur is right. Spiritual zombies, the walking dead who do not know they are dead. That friend knew he was okay, even when he was dead. No amount of encouragement, no amount of words, no amount of reading of promises, no amount of reminders of God sitting on the throne in heaven. Nothing can excite a response to God if God doesn't act willfully and decisively. Otherwise, a person remains dead to God, alienated from God, separated from Him, at enmity with Him, dead in trespass, dead in transgressions and sins. And that's what we were. And Paul makes it perfectly clear. And remember, he's pointing out, I'm just sure of this, in chapter 1, the end of it, he's saying, God raised Him from the dead by this power, and this is the same power that He raised you from the dead. And we can see that what we have is spectacular, and a God who raises us is awesome, that we would commit ourselves to Him in fullness of mind and acts and so on. And Paul points out in the last part, we've read it already, transgressions and sins, the realm of our reality, where we walked when we were dead in trespasses and sins. He says the transgressions and sins in which, verse 2, in which you used to live or walk when you followed, that is actively pursued, actively got in step with the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature. And you say, how could I, if I was 3 years old, 5 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, when I came to the faith, how could you say that I walked in that realm of transgression and sin? How could you say I could that that's where I was walking? I didn't even know. Well, let me explain. Everyone who has not been made alive with Christ, who has not been raised with Him or seated with Him by the hand of God, everyone is under the dominion, in the dominion of darkness. Everyone. Even babies are born that way. And it's hard to think about, especially when I think of my own children, of how much they seem so pure and sinless to me. But by nature, we're talking about the nature. Now, Paul writes, he says, where the orbit in which you lived was this orbit of transgression, sin, worldliness, and under the rulership of the devil and in the flesh. That's what he's telling us. Trespass is more than just simply law-breaking. It is a willful breaking of the law. The no trespassing sign. And what do? You come up to a fence while you're walking through the woods. No trespassing, no trespassing, no trespassing every 10 feet. And what do? You cross the fence. Hear these stories at Atterbury sometimes. No trespassing every 5 feet along these fences. People go in there all the time and they get upset when they get arrested. They're transgressors. What do you expect would happen? God doesn't wink at sin. And so you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were a lawbreaker. And that was the exposure of your sinful nature. And you lived in sin. You existed in, you walked the orbit of your life. Your life orbited around sin. Sin is that realm that we lived in. You once lived in that, and it was natural to us. It's what we did. It's who we were. I was trying to think of a cool way to say it. It's like the operating system of a computer. You can't change. If it's got a certain operating system, you can't make it do something it's not designed to do. It can't do anything different. A computer doesn't just jump into something else that it wasn't designed to do. But we weren't designed to transgress. We weren't designed to sin. God made man good, to walk with God, to worship Him, to enjoy Him. But man sinned, had the capacity to sin. Adam sinned, and then all sinned. Adam died, all died through Adam. Federal headship. And so this natural operating system we have is geared up toward, will accomplish its desire, and that is to transgress God and sin. The only impulse which can move us and motivate us before we were made alive, the only impulse was the world system. The impulse and the gravitational pull of the world, the impulse toward it, the gravitational pull into the world system. We weren't sucked in as victims. We lived there like a fish in water. Just if the fish has a choice between dry land and water, it'll fight for all it's worth to get to the water. Just as those who are dead in trespasses and sins, if brought out of the water for just a moment, say brought into a nice gospel preaching service, as soon as they can run out of there and get back in familiar territory, they'll be more comfortable. The only impulse that would move and motivate would be the impulse of the flesh, the influence of the world, and the leadership of the devil. And we can see that in this passage right here. Because what moved us was the world screaming. We're drawn to it. Our subjection, according to this passage here, our subjection in verse 2, it says, we are subject to the Spirit who is now at work in those who are the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Our subjection was to Satan. We weren't victims. We actually submitted ourselves to his plan, to his ideas and design. It fit with us. You ever hear somebody talking, they're sharing their vision with you, and you say, I can buy into that. I agree with that. The whole system, the whole state of affairs of this fallen world is the design that comes from the doctrine of Satan, his leadership, all of it suited to fit subjects in the kingdom that they can live comfortably while dead in the world, subject to sin and transgression. Satan's designs fit fallen man perfectly. Why can you just not convince the sinner? Try a new way. Believe in Jesus and your whole life will change, and the sinner's going, why? Come on. It's like telling somebody, you know, who's got $1 million in their hands, give it up. Why have millions when you can have, or why have billions, or why have millions and you can have it all? Not because I'm happy with what I have. The enemy designed the ruler of this world, of the kingdom of the air. Everything fits us right. There's no chafing. It fits those who are dead in trespasses and sins. And Paul says we were like all, like the rest, we were like them, we gratifying this. I'm going to read verse 3. All of us who lived among them, the sons of disobedience, were just like them, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. You were no different. Before you were made alive, you were dead. You were spiritually dead. You may have been, you could say, but I was one of the elect. You were dead. You were a slave to sin. You were suited for the world. There had to be a decisive act of God. Before you came to Christ, he says you were one of the sons of disobedience. You were clothed in the flesh. That is the fallen human nature. You were most comfortable in that nature. You too, and we were comfortable in the flesh. And he said, like them, we were comfortable. We were willing. And we always granted a yes and a thumbs up to the cravings of the sinful nature. Is that not true? Especially for those of you that came to faith later in life. You always gave a thumbs up to the cravings of the sinful nature. You always affirmed what the doctrine that they preached. The world's way was slick and smooth and right. And it was easy to follow its desires, the desires of the flesh and the thoughts of the flesh, provided it allowed you to do what you wanted to do. All the cravings and all the thoughts, sinful desires and all the wicked thoughts are the brainchild of Satan. And all of these things, Paul says, when you were dead, all of these things fit like a glove. It just worked. You're a perfect match. Before Christ, we were perfectly suited for the world. We were approved by Satan, and we were very comfortable. Paul's saying, this is what you were, and this would probably cause believers to go, this is awful, but we were dead. But now we're made alive. And do you realize that those who are dead cannot see the danger they're in? They cannot see the judgment that's coming? Well, the problem is, as Paul says, your greatest problem was you were dead. And put it a different way, your greatest problem was you were at odds with God. And God was at odds with you. And we were unaware of this problem. Unaware. Now the last part of verse 3, Paul explains this fundamental problem that we were at odds with God. God was at odds with us. And he explains it this way. That though we were at peace with the world and Satan and the flesh, We were by nature children of wrath. That is saying God was at odds with you. We were in the state of judgment. Not only disobedient as sons of disobedience, but children of wrath. At enmity with God, already talked about that. Condemned under God's righteous judgment. Now, if all we did was isolate on these verses, there would be a hopeless sense for every believer. But Paul is simply pointing out to them, and I'll remind you before we close, he's reminding believers to really think about the reality of where you were, how dead were you when God made you alive, especially if you came to faith as a child. If you come to faith and you've come to faith as a child, this is to shock you into the reality of your condition prior to being born again. Thank God you were spared from much of the acting out of slavery to the world, of being indoctrinated to the ways of the devil. This is to wake you up to the point of saying, glory to God, He saved me when I was young. In the church, so often we love the great testimonies of those who were so far from God, it's obvious to see that when they were made alive, they were born again, they were a new person. But it is just as powerful of a testimony for the one who comes to Christ as a babe, that they too, you all once were dead. If we stood around the casket of one of our loved ones, especially a baby, we would mourn and grieve and wail. But if that one were to rise out of that casket, we would never be the same again, would we? Yet I fear that when we think about our lives as Christians, we get so caught up in used to this new life, the being made alive, that we forget just how glorious is this being made alive. And Paul, I think, takes these three verses for us that to wrap our heads around it and our hearts around it, that we would just see how dead we were. We were dead, but God made us alive. I think that there's another thing just to point out here, and it's popular in the world in which we live today, especially as we have governments trying to bring peace and rest to the world. And it's pointed out so often as we're lectured by those who are in authority to say, we're all one. We're all God's children. But that is not what this text teaches. It calls us all sons of disobedience, all children of wrath. And only when God acts decisively, bringing you from death to life, are you brought into the kingdom. Are you made alive with Christ? Are you raised with Christ? And are you seated with Christ in the heavenly realms by the act of God? Because until that happens, everyone in this world, apart from Jesus Christ, are subjects to a ruler under wrath. The ruler of the air is under wrath. Satan is under judgment. And every person on earth, apart from Jesus Christ, is under the same judgment as the ruler. Every human being, dead in their trespasses and sins, are citizens of a world and a system that is being judged and will come to nothing. And everyone, apart from being made alive in Jesus Christ, living according to the sinful nature, is oblivious to the holiness of God and the heaviness of the wrath to come. And Paul makes it clear in this, and I have to make it clear, that's who we were. If you are in the faith, you once were under the sentence of death, under the wrath of God. And we can't end there. I don't want to end at the end of verse 3, because there's two words in chapter 2, verse 4, that I think turns it all. And you know what those words are. But God. Chapter 2, verse 1, as for you, you were dead in trespasses and sins, transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. It's what you were. You were subject to the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time. Past tense, it's who you were in the past. Gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. There's no difference. But God. It's that decisive act on God's part according to His pleasure and will. Acting at some point in time. Applying the blood of Jesus Christ, the work of Christ, the power of His resurrection. At a moment in time where your eyes are open because you're given a new heart and a new spirit. Your ears were tuned to Him as never before. It's like a radio receiver. It's set to that frequency. He gives you the frequency. And He gives you the desire of your heart to call out to Him. You were once dead, but now you're alive. Can you celebrate that?
Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give praise to you for this gospel passage today that paints a horribly dark picture of who we were, but a glorious picture of who you are and of the power of this gospel to save sinners, to bring us from death to life, meaning most of all alive to you. Oh, if we are hardened in our heart toward this gospel, we've heard it 1,000 times before. For those that are truly in the faith, that you would ignite in them a desire, a want to glorify you in their thoughts, words, and actions. But if there is one here today who is living according to the flesh, who has not been born again, we would pray for them that you would be merciful and gracious to them. Your word tells us it's by grace that we're saved. Oh, be gracious. May your word come alive and the Spirit work, producing new life. Oh, we pray your blessing, oh God, and cause us to repent, each of us as those who have been brought in the kingdom of the Son you love. That we would turn from sin and do what's right. Break the ties with the world and be separate. In Jesus' name, amen.